This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
With fast funding up to $10,000 available through NetCredit, our online application process was designed to get the money you need quickly if approved. You can borrow an amount that meets your needs and repay in a way that works for your financial situation. And we report on-time payments to credit bureaus, so you can build credit history as you repay. See what NetCredit can do for you today. Check your eligibility without affecting your credit score at NetCredit.com. All NetCredit loans and lines of credit are offered by a member of the NetCredit family of companies or one of our lending partners. Visit NetCredit.com/partners for more information.
On August 25th,
I'm the most brutal, vicious, ruthless champion that ever been.
The most anticipated original series is here. You may know Tyson.
You're the heavyweight champion of the world, young, rich, and black.
But do you know Mike?
The minute you get too big, they gotta cut you down.
Starring Trevante Rhodes.
I am Mike.
And Harvey Keitel.
They'll love you as much as they fear you.
Now I'm really gonna have some fun.
Mike, series premiere August 25th, only on Hulu.
How's it going, everyone? Welcome back to another edition of That Mill Podcast. Hope you're doing well. Joining me, as always, Omar, I've got Kai Bennett. Hello, pal. You all right?
Good, thank you, mate. Yeah, good, thank you. How are you?
Not bad. We're a day late today because we were meant to do a show yesterday. Didn't get the time to do it, but here we are. One day late is not too bad, is it, Kai? As long as we get a show out there. But yeah, all the better for Mill winning on Saturday. The third form team in the league after 10 games, the last 10 games, mate. Everything's looking hunky-dory now all of a sudden.
Absolutely. And Gary Rowett's change of formation, change of shape, and second half did us works wonders, didn't it? And we all of a sudden looked a different team, which was lovely to see.
A back four at home, albeit for 20 minutes. We'll talk more about it anyway. Obviously, that's the 2-1 win over Stoke on Saturday. We'll go into part one now and we'll talk all about our win on Saturday. And welcome to the first part of the show. As mentioned, Kai, Mill 2, Stoke 1, Tom Brasher at the double as Mill turned it around from going 1-0 down and went 2-1 at the Den, mate. We done a little half-time prediction, or prediction, so to speak, in our match vlog that you did, mate. I came and joined you at half-time and you was bang on, mate. Even though it was 1-0 down, you still stuck to your guns, said we're going to win 2-1 still, and somehow we did. Unbelievable. And the Den was rocking on Saturday in that second half, I felt like.
Yeah, it was fantastic. As soon as Bradshaw scored his first goal, it just felt like a real change in momentum. I felt like a change in momentum after the second half started, to be fair. We were quicker and more energetic, more lively, and Stoke almost looked like they were happy to sit on a 1-0 lead and just sort of try and see it out and frustrate us. But the change in shape did wonders. I'm not quite sure whether it was planned or not, with Evans obviously going off. But it looked like Smith was ready to come on anyway. which was good move. Smith, I was a little bit worried about how Smith would do considering there are four centre backs on the pitch, but I thought he was brilliant. I thought he won most headers in the air and actually took away Harry Soutar from Jake Cooper for our second goal. If Smith's not up there with, if Smith's not on the pitch, Soutar marks Cooper and Cooper might not win that flick down. Yeah. So I think, yeah, it really took a little bit of, according to BBC, we didn't have a single corner on Saturday.
That's the first for me, wasn't it?
Yeah, which was crazy.
Unbelievable.
Which was absolutely, that's unheard of, isn't it? Like we're normally pet the box. But I thought the set piece that Ballard did put in for the second goal was a great ball in. Cooper wins his flick on and Leonard, Mr. Reliable, Mr. Versatile, Mr. Fantastic on Saturday, puts the ball straight across and Bradshaw can't miss. But the point of it is that it's not that you could say two tap-ins, but you've got to be there to score them. And Bradshaw was. And yeah, fair play to him.
It's an art of a poacher, as you say. I think, two almost identical finishes, two kind of similar runs across the edge of the 6-yard line. And he's there to tuck them away. Obviously, Sheyojo for the first was an assist. We'll talk more about the goals as well. And obviously, Leonard for the second goal. And obviously, we'll talk about Sawyer's goal as well in the first half. But I guess we'll start from the beginning. Obviously, 2 o'clock, team news arrives. And we mentioned, obviously, back four was prevalent for 20 minutes in the second half. Garrett picks a back five again. Bielkowski in goal. Ballard, Hutchinson and Cooper, the three centre-halves. Malone left wing back. Reiner started right wing back. And then, obviously, Evans and Billy Mitchell in the middle. Sheyojo and Jed Wallace were accompanying a lonesome Tom Bradshaw. I mean, I suppose, obviously, getting the win on Tuesday, Kai, you know, it's kind of expected to see a similar team to what we saw on Tuesday night at Sheffield United. One enforced change at the time was obviously Billy Mitchell stepping in for George Saville. Obviously suspended, picked up 5 yellow cards, kicked up his fifth of the season at Bramall Lane, so missed the game on Saturday. Were you surprised that Mitchell coming in? Obviously, we spoke a bit about it on the show last week, but I kind of wasn't sure who to expect to go in there. I think, you know, I've been calling for Mitchell to get his opportunity for a few weeks now. He got that opportunity to play and I thought he was quite good in the second half, in particular on Saturday. But obviously, it was interesting to see that kind of dynamic between Evans and Mitchell. And maybe was it the perfect partnership in the end? It's hard to say. But first half in particular, it wasn't too great, was it?
No, and I think Billy really grew into the game. I thought he was, you know, I think the whole Millwall team was quite, were lacking energy in the first half and lacking a little bit of passion. But I think what defines Billy is his overall stamina and overall energy to last longer than everyone else. I mean, you hear about it, don't you, that Billy Mitchell's the only one that comes close to Murray Wallace in pre-season.
Yeah.
And I thought that as the game wore on, he got better. And that's probably because, you know, with 5 minutes to go, he still looked fresh. And that's, you know, absolute, you know, credit to him for his fitness levels. Because, you know, working for 85 minutes and he still looks like he's going to win everything. And he worked really hard and I thought he was brilliant in the second half, especially. And I thought Keith came in and sort of just, you know, made it even stronger, that midfield. We looked less and less likely to be broken down the more and more the game went on. There was a couple of nervy moments. But yeah, funny enough, Stoke didn't throw what I call the kitchen sink at us in the last four minutes, wasn't it? I had it on time. I thought they'd be camped in our box, but we actually managed to find a way to get out. And the only real problem was a foul on Bart, wasn't it, from a corner. And then, yeah, we cleared it. Happy days. And yeah, won the game. Happy. Brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, on Mitchell, obviously, you mentioned, obviously, he's a bit of an engine in there. I think that's probably why I kind of wanted him to be in the side. You know, sometimes midfield is a bit lackluster, especially at home. Obviously, Saville and Evans shut us up on Tuesday night in all intents and purposes. You know, they're both kind of brilliant, I thought, at Bramall Lane. But with Mitchell, he gives that energy. But like you say, he's kind of a box-to-box kind of midfielder as well. And he just seems to be, you know, I think in the first half, we'll talk about it, obviously, the game started and it wasn't, you know, all like a perfect Millwall home display, so to speak, early on. I think Bart was calling to Sables in the early doors, putting out he's kind of clawed down to the right-hand side to stop the Stoke City attempt on goal. About 3-4 minutes in, it was pulled back, header at goal, and he'd done great to save it. We didn't really get a kind of foothold in the game, did we? I think it was kind of trying to edge our way into it, and almost I felt like giving Stoke a bit too much credit and too much respect, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think it was a great save from Bart. It actually looked, from where I sat, it looked like it went off before, you know, the cross that came in, it already gone off. But, you know, playing to the whistle and stuff, and Bart pulls out a top draw save, fantastic save, you know. But how many times have we said that about Bart this season already? And, you know, he comes up again, and you know, there's nothing he could do about the goal. You know, but it was fantastic. You know, there was a slight shout for a penalty, wasn't there? Surridge, I think it was.
Yeah.
Mitchell, I think it was, you know.
Stonewall, I thought, like, we both sit in a couple of layers.
Yeah.
You're up, I'm lower. and yeah. I was kind of almost like in front of the foul, and I think Surridge runs into him, kind of, you know, but at the same time Mitchell's leg's there, and if you're offering the leg to kind of someone to trip over it, typically it's a penalty nowadays, isn't it? And I think we kind of got away with one there, didn't we? I felt like at the time.
Yeah, but I feel like we did. And, you know, we said at halftime, didn't we, that we both thought it was probably a penalty.
Yeah.
But I think it was probably the way he over-exaggerates the dive that the way he goes down is very unorthodox, isn't it? He sort of makes a big meal of it and the ref probably thinks, yeah, that's probably a dive. But in fairness to him, he probably goes over natural there, more naturally, then he probably does get it. But it looked a bit like a sandwich, didn't it, of two players, and maybe that's why the ref didn't give it. Looking back on it, it did look quite could have been given. You've seen them given plenty of times, so yeah, it was lucky to get away with that. Stoke looked the stronger side. You know, they looked to pass it around us. They penned us in, didn't they? And we couldn't really get out. Everything that we were sort of lumping forward was going straight to their centre backs, because Bradshaw's not going to win headers in the air as such against Soutar and you know, Chester and players like that. One thing that I would describe the first half as was frustrating, and you could see that when Jed pushed Chester straight into the advertising boards, which got a good reaction, wasn't it? So you could see the frustration on the Millwall players, and they came out in the second half and did themselves proud.
Definitely. I mean, I think, you know, you mentioned obviously Bradshaw being up there, you know, he's not going to win headers, but what he does offer, I felt like, you know, the first half, I'd say Stoke probably had a fair kind of more of the ball, so to speak. I think for the whole game, they've dominated possession anyway, but you kind of expect that from a Stoke City side, the likes of Sawyer's in midfield anyway. But with Bradshaw in particular, he does offer that kind of non-stop kind of pressing, I feel like. And especially with a front three of Bradshaw, Ojo and Jeds, you know, you've got three kind of versatile players in there that like to kind of put the kind of hard yards in, so to speak. And I thought, you know, in particular Bradshaw, you know, he was my man of the match on Saturday, not just for the goals, but also his undoubted commitment to, you know, putting a shift in for his team.
Yeah, definitely. I thought they were excellent. Jed and Bradshaw were fantastic running wise. They ran all game. Ojo came to life in the second half. You know, maybe, you know, could have done better with that strike in the first half. And we said this at half time, didn't we? That if they're players that had the chances, put them away. I think there was a couple of chances, weren't there? We had Jed was through. Ojo had a good chance, and Leonard was given a good strike on goal. You know, if them three players are a little bit more clinical, we could have gone into the break actually quite comfortable after quite a poor first half. But it just shows you their fine margin. If we get them right, you know, even when we're not performing well, we can still lead games and take it to the opposition. And I think in the second half, we just, you know, we cemented our control and our dominance in the game and got our rewards.
Definitely. I mean, so obviously, like I said, kind of edgy start, I started kind of edging it, and 20 minutes comes. And I think at the time, it's like Mill in possession, the ball goes back to Bart Bielkowski in goal. And if you look back on the highlights, I think he does pick it up. Also, it was noticeable at the time. It's kind of the defence is split. The centre-half's pulled away. Mitchell's in the middle, kind of begging for the ball to feet. He's like, give me the ball. Bart decides to go long. We lose the ball in the midfield battle. And up comes Stoke down the left-hand side of the pitch, our right. And eventually it finds its way to the edge of the box. And Romain Sawyers, who we know is an unbelievable player at this level, a player that I'd love to see in the Millwall team, but I don't know whether or not he'd fit into a Gary Rowett kind of formation anyway. But he gets the opportunity to kind of get the ball down and strikes it with his left foot. He's weaker foot as well, if I'm not mistaken. And like you said earlier, Bar had no chance to save that effort. A great goal for Stoke. And I think for us, it was kind of, like I said at the start, just sitting off them too much, wasn't it? You're at home. You're the home team. You've got to kind of grab the game by the scruff of the neck. You've got to kind of set the tone and don't let opposition basically walk over you. But that first half in particular, I think that was what the bugbear was for me. Like, you know, just give them too much respect and then they punish you like they did for Sawyer's goal there, Kai.
Yeah, they've got an incredible midfield, haven't they? If you look at players like Joe Allen, Franchidge and Sawyers, it's a very tidy midfield, that, isn't it, for a championship squad? So it does show you they've got quality, and that's why you can't give them too much respect, because if you do, they'll find their pass, they'll pick their pass. They've got players running off the ball. You've got Surridge, Tymon, who's very quick. They were playing a makeshift right back. I think their right back, Tommy Smith, I think it was, or someone like that. They got injured in the warm-up, or there was some problem. But yeah, they have players running off the ball. And they're quick. They're direct in the way they play. They're not direct in the balls they play, but they're direct in the... They get the ball and they look to get in on goal. And they were overall very dangerous. You have Jacob Brown running down the middle, who's a good player. I think they did miss Nick Powell. I think they missed his creativity. There's a few moments where they had that, you know, just needed a little bit more... bit more calm on the ball and a little bit more creativity. And they probably missed that, in fairness to them. But, you know, we were missing Saville, Bennett and Afobe. So you know, even though obviously Afobe couldn't play and Saville was suspended, I think even them two are big players for us. But even Bennett, who did so well in the week against Sheffield United when he came on, he's a big player. And I thought, you know, Stoke, yeah, we did give them too much respect, and that was our downfall in the first half.
And Soyuz's goal, I mean, great strike, wasn't it?
Fantastic strike. I mean, there's no stopping that from Bart. He just, you know, it probably didn't get out to him soon enough. When we did, he just sort of shifted it onto his left foot. And that shows the class of you know, how good he is as a player and what class he possesses in that Stoke squad. Because, you know, when they click, them three midfield players with Francic, Allen and Soyuz, I mean, any one of them can hit it. So, yeah, that's why you can't stand off him too much.
Yeah, that's entirely true, mate. And I think, like I said, I think maybe I share the same frustration as a lot of people in the crowd, and maybe it gets misconstrued because it's quite a split opinion about it, especially the first half performance. You know, the team went off to booze. And like you said, though, rightfully, you know, Leonard has a chance. Jed wanted to break his through on goal from the right-hand side, albeit, you know, difficult for him, halfway line. He's going towards goal. He kind of takes it away from goal, doesn't he? We said that at half-time when we were chatting about it. But, you know, it was obviously a tough situation where he's got to run into goal and then tuck it away. And I think the Stoke defender recovers great. Stops that from the opportunity from going towards goal. And as you mentioned as well, you know, Ojo has the opportunity where he's kind of at the back post, gets it out of his feet and kind of skips it to the left. But they go off to boost Kai at halftime, and I guess we should address that. Do you think that's a build-up of events, not necessarily just that first half, but as a whole, the home games in general, you know, Luton fresh in the mind at the time as well? Or, you know, for me in particular, I don't think I booed, but I wouldn't be begrudged to boo that performance in the first half. It's not necessarily the quality of show, but I just felt the desire wasn't there in particular, like I said earlier. But yeah, obviously going off to boost whilst creating chances to be 1-0 down is not typical at Millwall, but at the same time, shouldn't be surprised to see it, I don't think.
No, absolutely not. I think, you know, the team, you know, weren't playing well, and they've got to accept the fans were frustrated. I was frustrated. You were probably frustrated. And, you know, we said about half time, didn't we, that we were worried that if they did come out second half and they, you know, they didn't turn the energy, put more energy in, more passion, we could lose this game 2-3-0. Mm-hmm. And I think then boos, you know, we could go against Luton when the players were booed off at half time. I don't think the players really took it that well. You know, if I was a player and I got booed off at halftime, I want to come out second half and you know, put a performance in for the crowd and show them, you know, that we can do it and, you know, that we're a good side. And second half, they responded brilliantly. And I think, you know, they might have needed that little bit of frustration at halftime just to show them that's not good enough. And I'm pretty sure Raul would have told him it's not good enough too. And and they came out and responded brilliantly. It's all about, you know, it's not about the setbacks. It's how you come back off the setbacks. And yeah, they did well, and they showed more of a Mill passion and determination that we want, and, you know, as we asked for as fans.
Definitely. I mean, a unique scenario where there's 6 minutes added on in the first half due to injuries. We then get the second half eventually underway. There was a delay as well kicking off for the second half. The fourth official was injured, or the lino's injured, and the fourth official has to step in, one of the two. But we get going, albeit about 12 minutes after four, which is, you know, like I say, a unique scenario. We're the last ones to finish probably on Saturday. 3 minutes into the half, we mentioned it earlier, Smith comes on for Evans. I don't think it was tactical, although maybe it was a sub in Garrett Rowett's mind. I think he said that in his post-match interview anyway, that we was considering going to back four even in the first half. I think I put a tweet out in the first half as well, and I felt like, let's talk about a bit about George Evans now, because we're going to have to scapegoat him a little bit, even though I'm still unsure about Evans. I like Evans. You can see the undoubted quality he has on the ball. He strikes me as a Ryan Woods kind of character now in this side. He's a bit of a pantomime villain. Where you can see he's a good footballer, but with the setup we have, the way we play in midfield, you know, we prefer the likes of Billy Mitchell in there or George Saville, because a bit more dynamism about their play, if you know what I mean, Kai. But Evans comes off of injury. I think he's a calf injury, if I'm not mistaken. You probably correct me. But on comes Smith, 3 minutes in, and we go to a 4-4-2, mate. I mean, obviously, how did you feel at the time? Did you work out straight away we went to a back four? I know I was trying to kind of pinpoint it, but obviously Leonard comes into the middle. And then we have Ballard playing it right back, don't we? And Malone left back, and the two centre halves in the place there. It was an interesting sight, but also exciting at the same time.
Definitely. And it was a bit like Luton. We went to a back four and put Ballard at right back. But the difference in against Luton is that we seemed to get outdone by a little bit of pace. And, you know, a little bit of, I guess, they weren't really sure of the formation. Rowett's probably worked on it with them. And in an ideal world, you probably have Danny McNamara at right back, don't you, in that sort of situation. But I can see why he wouldn't want to take a player like Ballard off, so reliable, even Hoops or Hutch, you know, because I think in his mind, he's probably thinking that, let's say we do turn it around, which obviously we end up doing, we want to go back to a back five to defend it. So
why do we do that, Kai? We'll come up again in a bit, but why do we go back to back five? If it's working and we score two and we go 2-1 up, why do we revert back to a back five to try and see the game out? Why not put the swords to the opposition and try to win that game 3-4-1?
That's exactly my question. if I could ask it, that's exactly my question, because OJ was playing brilliantly. Jed looked dangerous. We looked to have clicked all of a sudden in the second half, and 20 minutes in the second half were the most exciting 20 minutes I've seen at Millwall this season, and probably all of last season as well on the watching it from home. So I don't know why we're going back to a back five, if I'm being totally honest. I thought Leonard was fantastic though, in the middle. I thought as soon as he gets on the ball and there's an excitement around the ground, because he looks like he's going to drive at players and really put players on the back foot, and he does that. And I thought when Danny did come on, he used his pace really, really effectively. But I don't know why we did go back to a back five. I'm assuming Rowett thinks that it's probably a bit of security, which is fine, but keep the players that are, are actually threatening Stoke, keep them on. Otherwise, we get to a situation where we're just sort of trying to kick it clear and go again, and rather than take it to the opposition and get, because the best form of defence is attack, isn't it, at the end of the day? So if we're 2-1, if we're 2-1 up, best form of defence is attack. Go and get a third, go and finish the game off.
Or if you go around it, it's best when we attack is defend, maybe. Maybe that's the way it is. Maybe that's the way he thinks about it. But like I said, anyway, 48th minute, Smith comes on. 3 minutes later, Kai, upsets Tom Bradshaw. We spoke a bit about it at the start of the show. But obviously, a bit of work down the left-hand side. Ojo came to life. We've mentioned that already. But, having the extra forward in the attacking areas, I think in the first half in particular, there was a couple of moans and groans around me and a couple of tweets online about Ojo's performance. Not really coming into the game, kind of running into an empty space and, running into kind of a down a channel to no one, basically. But then having the extra player in the attacking areas, I think it was an interchange at first. I think Hutchinson gets the ball, sprays it deliciously out to the left-hand side to Malone, who's on running on the left-hand side, gives to Ojo, beats his man, gets to the byline, puts across him with his stronger foot, left foot, and there's Bradshaw to tuck it away. I mean, I say it's simple, it's not, but it made it look so easy. Just having... I put tweets out online on Sunday morning. Instead of having just three attackers in the box, you've got four in the box. You've got Malone on the left-hand side bombing on. You've got Leonard trying to get involved in the play, like you mentioned there, bombing forwards. Suddenly it became really kind of going for the kill here. And there's your goal. Reap the rewards from it.
It's one of them ones you're sitting in the stand and you're sort of trying to tell them what to do almost. And it's like you pass it there, cut inside, and basically it worked like that, didn't it? It looked really simple, but it's... The technique on Hutchinson's ball to Malone was brilliant.
Unbelievable.
Fantastic pass. Malone cuts inside. Yeah, fantastic touch. We've all seen Malone do touches like that when he scored a goal like Gascoigne's last year. It was a fantastic little goal. Let's bring that back up. But it's a fantastic little touch inside. Finds Ojo, who just shows undoubted, that is class what he did there. Yeah. Just a spot
skill,
Bradshaw.
Pace and delivery. You know what I mean? Perfect winners.
On August 25th,
I'm the most brutal, vicious, ruthless champion that ever been.
The most anticipated original series is here. You may know Tyson.
You're the heavyweight champion of the world, young, rich, and black.
But do you know Mike?
The minute you get too big, they gotta cut you down.
Starring Trevante Rhodes.
I am Mike.
And Harvey Keitel.
They'll love you as much as they fear you.
Now I'm really going to have some fun.
Mike, series premiere August 25th, only on Hulu.
Your work technology should help your organization run better. Monday.com is an intuitive platform designed to help teams of all sizes work better together and maximize results. With Monday.com, you can easily customize your workflows to fit your team's exact needs and create automated updates to keep everyone up to speed in real time. Experience the power of a single platform that replaces your costly tech toolbox and the headache that comes with it. To start your 14-day free trial, go to Monday.com.
Display from Millwall, isn't it, really?
Absolutely. He's gone direct. He's ran at the defender and looked to get it into the box. And, if he was, he's been clever about it as well. He's known that Smith's in the box, which obviously if Smith's in the box, you can go aerial. But he knows Bradshaw's going to make that run, and he's put in an absolutely delightful pass. Just in behind the back four or back five, but not too much on it so the keeper can get it. And it's just in the sort of middle. And Bradshaw, doesn't miss from there. It's fantastic. And all of a sudden, our tails are up. And I felt like the momentum had changed. I felt like it changed first couple minutes in the second half, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But from there, I felt like there was only going to be one winner, and yeah, we got it. So
yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, fast forward 10 minutes after that, I think Jed wins a foul on about the halfway line. You know, we're looking to counter attack. He gets brought down. I mean, I thought that's what really struck me the most, Kai, in that spell, 20 minutes of playing this 4-4-2. The players got back and defended, but when we won the ball, with the four attackers on the pitch, with Leonard in the middle, Mitchell in the middle, the instinct was get the ball, turn, and run towards goal, and get drive up the pitch. Not necessarily... The one thing I hate the most, it's a good thing if you've got the players to do it, and I'm not saying we don't have the players to do it, but we play this five at the back, the central defenders get the ball, the right back gets the ball, the left back gets the ball, the midfielders get the ball. You ain't got many options in front of you. So then you turn back to goal and you play it back and you recycle play. This is the modern way of playing football. You know, recycle the play, work the ball to the left, work the ball to the right, try and kind of get an opportunity. But I feel like we don't have the players then to get their head up and find that killer pass at times. And instead, you get the ball, just play on the turn and play towards goal, play direct. Neil Harris done it effectively for Millwall. I mean, it's not necessarily me bigging up Neil Harris because he came to a natural end at Millwall, but the difference of having the extra attack on the pitch, especially for, you know, winning the free kicks out on the halfway line, it sets up our second goal, doesn't it? It's, you know, maybe I'm being a bit too overemphasised on this, but you can see the clear difference, I felt like, with the two setups.
No, it's fantastic. I mean, Ballard puts a straight ball in the box and diagonal ball into the box, and Cooper rises highest, which is, you know, fantastic. It was a fantastic flick on. How many times do you see Cooper win a header and it doesn't go to our player, does it? But that was a fantastic ball there. And Leonard's so aware to be in that position. He sort of knows where Cooper's going to roughly put it to. And, he, you know, it's a fantastic touch and sort of thinks, sort of shows that, you know, if Ojo can do it, and, you know, it was a fantastic ball in from Ojo, and he's done an equally great ball into the box, and, you know, and Bradshaw put it on a plate for Bradshaw, who can't miss again. It looked a really simple goal, didn't it? But it was fantastic play.
Definitely, mate. I think that's it. Like, you think, you know, what are you asking your strikers to do? A centre forward like Tom Bradshaw, it's his bread and butter, that, isn't it? Getting in the right position on the edge of the 6-yard box. If you look at his goals for Barnsley before we signed him, they're exactly the same. Poacher, instinct in the box. And if you give him the service like we did, I know, like, obviously the second goal was more of a set piece kind of routine, but, you know, he's got that kind of movement about him in the box to lose his man. And if he's got, you know, a yard to have a shot inside his box, he's going to do it. And I mean, you know, he was on his back at Swansea about 4 weeks ago when he missed that chance, but it was a bit more difficult than these two on Saturday. But, you know, with a plum, he scores two goals, gets his two goal bonuses and the win bonus on top of that. And my man of the match, you know what I mean? Like, it's simple but effective, simple Millwall play, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely, man. I'm going to go a little bit, I'm going to disagree here with a little bit of my man of the match. I thought personally my man of the match was Ryan Leonard.
Okay.
But it was obviously, if Bradshaw has to get very close. Yeah, I mean, yeah, he, obviously he'll get the headlines for the goals, of course. You know, it was fantastic movement. You know, I thought he chased work channels all day, worked really hard. I just think Leonard was absolutely brilliant when he went to centre midfield, and I thought he did a really good job at right back as well. You know, I don't think it's so, he's really shown people what he can do in the last year, even with that injury, even when he got, you know, he's back from injury now, and he's really shown the Millwall fans what he's about. And I think he struggled at first at Millwall, but he's really shown what he's about. And, you know, he's been a real big player for us. I mean, if he doesn't get a start next Saturday in midfield when Danny's hopefully back at right back, I think it'll be really harsh on him, because he was excellent when he went there on Saturday.
Who do you take out, though? Like, George Savile's returning. It's a kind of conundrum, isn't it? And also, what kind of setup are we going to get? I suppose we're away from home, so we're expecting the 5-2-3 to come back into play. But I agree with you. Leonard was brilliant. I think for me, though, just Bradshaw, obviously, I can't remember his last goal. When was the last time Bradshaw scored for us? Is it this season? I don't think it was, right?
I think it was last season. We beat Bristol City 4-1, I think.
You see, like, I mean, not only has he got the two goals that, you know, he's proved that if you give him the service, he's going to bury them, because that's the kind of striker he is. He's that kind of Gregory poacher in the box, if you know what I mean, or even Neil Harris. I mean, Neil Harris had better goals than him, you know, from all sorts of angles. But at the same time, you give these players the service, they'll be smart enough to pull off their man and score the goal. But also for me, like I said earlier, it was not necessarily just the goals, but also his work rate and his commitment. And it's kind of over the last two games, you know, he kept his place by default Saturday because of Foby can't play against Stoke. But he deserved...
He could have brought in both Arsene.
Who? But he deserved to keep his place on the side. I think, he showed what he's about. And I think... as much as we can see, or we say his limitations today, he's a goal scorer, he's a striker, he's not scored enough goals for us. But if you give him that service every week, I think he is a 10 to 15, maybe even 20 goal season striker there. The service is there and waiting for him. He's put the effort in. He's done the hard yards, waited these opportunities coming inside. I don't expect him to get dropped next Saturday. I mean, that would be a criminal kind of act, wouldn't it, for Fobi? Even though Fobi is a great option, suddenly you've got two decent strikers on form here. I mean, on form, a question for Fobi, but, you know, two good standard players if, you know, you give that service to them.
Yeah, I don't think you can drop Ojo either. So, you know, I think Ojo was brilliant in that second half and he deserves a place in the team next week. So It's so hard. Who do you drop next week? I mean, if you bring Leonard in at centre mid, you drop Billy, because I thought Billy was brilliant in the second half. Obviously, Keith came on the second half, but Saville will probably replace Evans, won't he? I don't imagine Evans will be fit after going down. He didn't look in too much comfort, does he? So, you know, so Saville will probably take his place. Will it be Billy Mitchell? Will it be Leonard? Both, whoever loses their starting spot next week, either Leonard or Mitchell, it'll be really harsh on them because they're both brilliant. And then do you play 5-2-3 or 5-3-2? Or do you play 4-2 or 4-2-3-1? I mean, it's up to him because, you know, obviously it's up to him because he's the manager. But, you know, 4-2-3-1 could cause Huddersfield quite a few problems, especially if you went, you know, I don't know, Jed. You could even play 4-4-2 with a Fobi and Bradshaw up top. You know, that if you don't want to drop a Fobi, you've got to play a two, because if you go 5-3-2, you have to drop one of Jed or Ojo. So it doesn't really work. So you have to play a 4-4-2. But then who do you drop, Cooper or Ballard or Hutchinson? Yeah. It's so many questions. But that's the beauty of having good depth in the squad. And I think it's something that, you know, even though he moaned at having, you know, quite a lot of injuries, and we all moaned that there was quite a lot of injuries, now we don't know who to drop. And I think that's a really nice problem to have, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's the best problem, isn't it, I suppose, for a manager. I mean, Evans getting injured is a shame. I think it's an unfortunate shame, but a convenient shame, because that then sparked our second half performance. We mentioned earlier, obviously, about the subs. You know, we've gone 2-1 up. 5 minutes later, he's straight as we said there, Ojo off, Keith and Beldon. He felt like at the time, he said after the match, you know, their midfielders are getting more of the ball. We need to outnumber them in the middle. Keith the Beldon offers you that. He closes down like the channels, the space, and stops the kind of through ball. But the Mills tweet sums up perfectly, right? So we're active in the second half. We're 2-1 up. We've gone, suddenly turned it around. And then 68 minutes, change number 2, Ojo off, Keith the Beldon. 8 minutes later, the Lions still look sharp, but the visitors are piling on the pressure. The defence are not letting anything through lightly. That's like the legit, obviously, you know, Stoke didn't have too many noteworthy opportunities, like we said towards the end of the game. But all you're doing by sacrificing an attacker further up the pitch is you put a midfielder on and you're kind of naturally falling deeper. And I think it sends a message to the rest of the team, like, we're going to see this out here, if that makes sense, Kai. And then 10 minutes later, maybe a bit after, towards the end of the game, about 10 minutes to go in the game, Jed Wallace comes off, McNamara comes on. And at this point, you've just got Bradshaw and Smith up top, who, you know, if there was a second goal to come straight after that substitution and then Stoke equalise, you don't really see the outlet or the opportunity there to kind of get up the pitch afterwards. You took off two natural wingers, two ball carriers. I don't think Neil Harris used to do it at times, and I'm not opposed to these substitutions with 5 minutes to go, but I just thought at the time, especially the atmosphere, the crowd we spoke about, everyone was really on side of the team. To take a player off literally and then go settle back to a 4-5-1, wasn't it? Putting Bradshaw on the right, who's scoring goals in the middle, you put him on the right, and it's 20 minutes to go. It's kind of like saying, all right, Stoke, off you go, try and score against us now, if that makes sense. We think we're not going to concede, but it's like it's playing with fire a little bit, but also I suppose a sign of rarity as a manager, maybe. I don't know how you read into that.
I mean, I think you could look at it two ways. I mean, one, you could look at it gives Stoke confidence, because if Jed and Ojo are both off, they know that there's probably not going to be anyone that's going to be able to carry the ball for us. I know Danny came on and he did brilliantly when he got on the ball and ran at their defence. But, you know, they probably think, well, we can probably commit more men forward now and really look to score. But you could look at it the other way and think Rowett has got real confidence in his back five. And I think that's the way I'd like to look at it personally, in a positive manner. But yeah, I mean, the back five never really looked troubled, did they, in the second half after we scored our two goals? But, you know, with the crowd, how we were and, you know, how excited we were with the performance in the second half, there was a real opportunity there to put three or four past Stoke. And, really kill the game off and then take Jed and Ojo off with 10 minutes to go when you're 3 or 4-1 up. I mean, there was a real chance there to go and score. Let Bradshaw get his hat trick, I mean, for example. You know, and Bradshaw's going to struggle to... One thing I would say, though, is obviously Smith did get played in behind, didn't he? Which, yeah, savour them words, because probably never say it again. but it's a shame it wasn't the other way around and Smith playing Bradshaw in behind. Because it was, I think he probably gets his hat trick. So, you know, but fair play. I mean, Smith had a strike. It wasn't the best strike, was it? I mean, but, you know, it's all about composure and he probably's not used to being in that situation too much. But we were getting up the pitch. McNamara was driving us up the pitch and I thought he was excellent when he came on. But it's just a shame we couldn't maybe get another goal or two, if not only to get all the 3 points, but just to boost our goal difference as well.
Yeah, I mean, very true, mate. I think it's, you know, a case of like the opportunity is there to take it and go for it, if that makes sense. But at the same time, I'm not disappointed by the move. I just kind of thought was when the ball's like higher up the pitch, because you've got more attackers pressing high up the pitch, getting in Stoke's face in all sense of purposes. Admittedly, you maybe leave yourself a little bit open to a counter-attack if you throw too many players forward. I get it. But at the same time, we're winning the ball high up the field. We're then turning it straight on the opposition and kind of going for it, if that makes sense, Kai. And I felt like we're just kind of going, all right, we've had our counter-punches now. We'll kind of settle back into default. It works in the end. So for 1 second, you think I'm going to criticise the manager for that. No, you're wrong. But I just think it was maybe an opportunity, to, like we said earlier, to kind of hit home and maybe take the third, fourth. But you run the risk, I suppose. It's a balancing act. But yeah, we see the game out, mate. Rocking on over the Wells on. Status quo. We're all happy. Rocking on over the Wells. But we've had it 3 times this season. But it felt like the most significant win of the season at home so far. You know, we kind of scraped it over the line against Blackpool, thanks to, you know, some Jed Wallace master shows there. We then play, obviously, Bristol City. Again, Jed Wallace to the rescue. Scoring penalty after coming on as a substitute. But this one was... No involvement from Jed Wallace in either goals, by the way. But also, it felt like we earned that and the crowd enjoyed it as well, Kai, if that makes sense. And to get over the line in that kind of fashion and win the game, but also see a glimmer of what we could look like with a back four, potentially, in the future, it just felt like a well-earned, entertaining 3 points, sending everyone home happy, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. I think you summed it up perfectly there. I mean, Blackpool was a great win, but we probably expected to win that with them have going down to 10 men.
Yeah.
Bristol City winning off a penalty. It's fantastic to win off a penalty, but it always, you know, doesn't feel as good, does it, as winning off a, you know, a open play strike. You know, obviously it feels, I feel just as good after a win, after any win. But, you know, when you play well and you really take it to the opposition like we did in the second half, it makes you feel so much better about the side. And Saturday was a real hard fought win. And we got over the line in the end after a pretty poor first half. But the goals we scored as well were nothing short of class. They were fantastic goals. And it just makes you think that, yeah, do you know what? If Jed's of an off day, which I don't think he was on Saturday, I just don't think he didn't really get any opportunity to put the ball in the box, did he, or anything? Mm-hmm. He didn't get any, we didn't have a new corners, did we? So, you know, so if he's having an off day, we can create chances other ways, which is always nice to see.
Especially with the over-reliance we've had on Jed, obviously, so far this season. You know, at times he's called us out of games, like I said there in the other games previous. But I think what I kind of sum it up as is, in an expression, was you walk out the last 2 wins at home, it's a, you got away with that one today, you know, or we were lucky to win that kind of sentiment. Whereas on Saturday, albeit we went 1-0 down, but that second half performance where we just shoved it at Stoke and said, what can you do to stop us? And they couldn't. And I think that's, and albeit it was only a 25-minute spell, if that, you know what I mean? Like, it's a condensed little period, but maybe that's a tactic to use going forward. If, you know, it's 0-0, the game's in the balance, you know, maybe it's kind of that kind of moment where you see the substitute warming up, you see a defender or midfielder come off, you see a striker come on, you're thinking, let's get the crowd on side. The crowd reacts to it. Maybe it could be a tactic that Rout uses in the future. What do we know, I suppose? But it's just brilliant to get a win there, Kai. And obviously, as I said earlier, to start the show, the third team in the league, third place in the last 10 games for the form table. Not bad.
Yeah, fantastic. And I think it's key because I think Rowett's still learning about this Millwall side. You know, obviously not having his chosen, you're not having the players that he brought in over the summer available, not having his full team available for most of the season. I think it's only natural that he's still probably trying to learn about the players and about their mentality and stuff. And maybe Saturday gives him a real good, you know, idea of who's up for the fight and who wants to take it to the opposition if we are losing at 1-0 at half time, or you know, by a couple goals at half time. And it was a perfect reaction, perfect day out, and perfect win, which sits us joint fifth.
Not bad, eh?
No, not bad.
Joint fifth with seven other teams, but yeah, it's a nice little caveat nonetheless. I think that's probably, like, to start the frustrations, I guess maybe a bit of what I feel, so I should say it. We're unbeaten in we lost obviously a few last Saturday, but take that defeat out of there, we're potentially unbeaten 9 games. The last 10 games is, you know, play 10, won 5, drawn 4, lost 1, 11 goals for, 8 against. The obvious glaring there is, you know, we should probably have scored some more goals. But we find ourselves third place in the form table, joint fifth, like you said, Kai, with seven other teams. But I think it highlights the lack of quality in the championship this season, where I think in the past, if you've got the last 10 games as a form guide, you probably have 3 or 4 teams in there that got more than 20 points. We've got 19 out of the last 30, which is brilliant for a club like us. If we average that for the whole season, we'll certainly be in and around the playoffs, which is superb. But I think that's what's frustrating as fans, is that the championship, aside from at the moment Bournemouth, Fulham and West Brom, is very, very mediocre. Maybe mediocre is not the right word. It's competitive, but it's competitive amongst the 21 other teams in that position, if you know what I mean. You've got Derby at the bottom, who are kind of sodded and going away with it. And aside from that, you've got teams all over that, you know, all can have a say and a shout of potentially a snout in the playoffs there, where you can put 5 wins together or something silly, you might suddenly be in the top 4. I think that's what we're all worried about as Millwall fans, is maybe we won't get a good opportunity again. We've said this the last couple of seasons, you know, you've got the opportunity there now, go for it. And, you know, we've tried twice now about it in the last 2 seasons. First season, let's get up there. Let's do it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you look at the teams in the playoffs, you've got Luton. I think you think Luton and Coventry are still in the playoffs. You know, Coventry drew 1-1 with Derby, didn't they? I mean, Derby seem to be putting up a fight everywhere they go right now, which is credit to them. But, you know, there's winnable games coming up. We've got Huddersfield next week. Then we've got, I think, 2 home games followed. I think it's Reading and Derby. You know, realistically, there's 3 games there that we could win all 3, and all of a sudden we're, you know, 9 points out of 9. And more importantly, we've won 7 out of 8, which is something unthinkable, isn't it? But, you know, and probably in the top 6 if we win them 3 games.
I think Saturday's game's going to be a big one. Obviously, we're in 10th place, same points as Huddersfield. I think, you know, to go there and get the win would be superb. And, you know, you're right, you know, send us into Reading and Derby at home. I mean, yeah, you never know, mate.
It's at the same time, fantastic.
Last time me and you sat excited and hopeful was before Luton. So,
yeah, let's not do that again.
I'm not going to sit here and get excited whatsoever for now. I think it's feet on the ground, 1 game at a time. And hopefully Saturday against Huddersfield, we can do the business and hopefully, you know, carry that form on, like you said there, mate. Yeah, I think we ran out of time anyway, Kai. You got anything else you want to put forward? Or you said your man of the match was Leonard, isn't it? So
I think that's about it.
Anyone else stood out for you in the game on Saturday? I think it was a workmanlike performance.
Yeah.
Second half in particular. First half wasn't great, but second half we were a lot better. And, you know, everyone around the pitch done their bit, I suppose.
Yeah, I think Leonard and Bradshaw are probably your obvious 2 picks for man of the match. And everyone else just chipped in with a really good, as you said, workmanlike determined performance. So, yeah, fair play to the squad. 4 wins out of 5, rocking all over the world.
Rocking all over the world, mate. It's unbelievable, Mill, sometimes. You do have to think yourself, like, doomsday scenario a week ago. Fast forward to now and suddenly it's not all bad. But that's the highs and lows of following a football team like Millwall, I suppose. And I wouldn't change it for 1 second whatsoever. And I'm sure you wouldn't either, Kai, would you?
Absolutely not.
There you go. So if you've enjoyed today's episode, guys, be sure to leave a like and obviously subscribe to us if you're new. If you're listening on audio, any reviews are always appreciated. 5 stars only, as always. And yeah, obviously, you know, Mickey today, I'm sure he'll be back for the next show. And we'll be back soon with that as well. So thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for watching. And we'll see you very soon.
Progressive is America's number one motorcycle insurer, so we understand motorcycles. No, really, we have a bike translator.
Okay, so this bike says she is struggling with her place in the motorcycle community. Well, she says she hasn't peaked yet, but she's having a little epiphany, okay? Oh, that maybe life itself is the peak. Interesting. In my experience, I found that... That's why I just translate. Not allowed to have opinions. Got it.
Quote with Progressive and see if you could save with America's number one motorcycle insurer. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
The is it morning yet deal. How about now? Or now? Because morning time is McDonald's breakfast time. And that's the best time of all the times.
Wake up with a little splash of sweetness. Get any size iced coffee from caramel to hazelnut to French vanilla for just 99 cents until 11 a.m. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.